Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's go to the Dial Pad guest line. And it's radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Quip. Go to quip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free. Catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show. It's out on radio.com/home or search home on the radio.com app. Go check it out. And thanks to Ross for joining us. Ross, is there a difference between going into the playoffs on a winning streak or going into the playoffs on a little bit of a losing streak?
I think you'd always prefer to be going in on a winning streak and feeling better about how things are going, but I don't think it makes that much of a difference ultimately, especially if you get the bye. I will say, I don't think that there's more of a difference in sports, period, between, you know, what perhaps is going to happen between Seattle and San Francisco, which is being the number one seed or the number five seed. And I might even write my column about it next week. I wonder if this is something that they should look at, because one point being the difference between three road games or two home games to get to the Super Bowl, I mean, there's not a bigger difference in all of sports. And it could come down to one point, and maybe that's part of what makes it good. Maybe that's part of what makes it special. I don't know, but it doesn't seem right to me that it's not only an extra game, but it's every game on the road versus two at home. It's kind of crazy, the difference between the number one seed and the number five seed. I mean, you get the number one seed, you're the favorite to go to the Super Bowl. You get the number five seed, good luck, because nobody's done it in a long, long time.
Well, how about this, Ross? If the 49ers if the Cowboys beat the Eagles, it means their Week 17 game means nothing. So they'll essentially have a bye the last week of the season, or they can rest their important starters and then get a home game where the 49ers will be playing the Seahawks while the Cowboys rest their starters.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I mean, I thought it was crazy thinking about that fact that, you know, the Cowboys at 8-7 would be able to rest their starters. The Eagles would have been in the same boat if the Cowboys had lost to the L.A. Rams. So something doesn't feel quite right about that either. I would agree. And, man, if I'm a Niners fan, obviously, the priority is for them to win the next two games and to get the number one seed. But I would much, much rather play the Philadelphia Eagles than the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the ceiling for the Cowboys is way higher right now than it is for the Eagles, who are basically playing with a bunch of practice squad guys. It's kind of crazy that three of their skill guys right now were all on the practice squad earlier in the year. So, I mean, obviously, the priority is for the Niners to win, but you should also probably root for the Philadelphia Eagles for the reason you just mentioned about the Cowboys essentially having a bye, but also just because the Cowboys have the potential to be much, much better and a real threat for the Niners. I don't really think the Eagles are. I'd be surprised if the Niners or the Seahawks didn't win that wild card round game in Philadelphia.
Ross, I hear you. You're spot on. And Bonte and I are taking a little heat from the listeners because they deem what I'm saying is I'm being negative, and I'm not. You played the game. Sports is so fickle. And about 4 weeks ago, Ross, on the same airwaves, I said I believe the Niners can hoist up the Lombardi Trophy. Now they got injuries, five guys possibly out. We don't know who's coming back, what they're going to be, Ross, when they do come back. And then you watch them lose to Atlanta. And we've seen it before where teams, you know, they don't get taken out by other teams. It's injuries. How concerned are you about the Niners moving forward? And we've kind of seen this before where teams balling, they get hurt, and they're never the same. And next man up, it's easy for fans to say that and guys like myself, but that doesn't make you who you were when you were, you know, at the top.
No, you're right. And it's funny, I always say this about injuries. You know, it's not an excuse, but it can be the reason. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It can be a pretty big reason. And, you know, losing Richburg at center really hurts. Now, I'll say this. You know, the Saints, who I think are the other best team in the NFC, you know, they lost Sheldon Rankins and Marcus Davenport, two of their three best D linemen. So every team is dealing with different injuries right now, and that's a major issue. But, yeah, I just noticed that the Niners' run game hasn't been quite as prolific the last few weeks. I don't know how much of that is Richburg being out now. You know, even I noticed the other day, which kind of surprised me, you know, Joe Staley, who I love, one of my favorite players in the league over the last 10, 15 years, however long it's been, I saw him get beat real easy.
Wow.
On an inside move by Vic Beasley.
Second play.
So, yep. Yeah, my concern is they've got some injury issues, but also some of the guys that have come back from injury aren't playing like they need to play. And that's the thing I'll be watching. Sounds like Sherman's coming back, and I'm a little surprised he's coming back already. And, you know, those hamstrings can be tricky. They need him, and they need a healthy Richard Sherman. And he's already coming back after 1 week. That makes me nervous, both in terms of re-injury and how effective he'll really be.
Hey, Ross, you kind of led me to my next question about Richard Sherman. I'm with you here when it comes to the offensive line at Richburg. You saw Grady Jarrett have a big week last week for the Falcons. And, of course, you mentioned Vic Beasley Jr. That concerns me with Aaron Donald coming to town. And then a couple weeks later, Reed in Seattle and Clowney, if he can get healthy. But Sherman, you're a former player, Ross. Grade 2 hamstring strain. He's trying to come back in less than 2 weeks. And he said last week that if the Niners needed that game, he would have played. What is he dealing with the grade 2 hamstring? Because I've never seen a player come back in less than 2 weeks from a grade 2 hamstring strain.
Yeah, you know what? I only ever did that one time, and it was 05 in the conditioning test, which is embarrassing, but it happened. I felt like I got shot in my hamstring, like the sniper got me. Now, I was coming off a back surgery, so I think maybe I was just all out of whack in my spine or whatever. And I remember thinking, okay, it's not that bad. And then, you know, we get to a week later, and I can do a bunch of stuff, but when I really had to cut it loose, you know what I mean? When I really had to go 100%, right, it would just catch and grab on me. So if I could have just throttled down and been at 80% and just pass pro, run blocking, if we hadn't ever called a screen or anything like that, I probably would have been okay. But when you have to really open it up, man, that makes me nervous. The guy's playing corner. I was playing guard.
And, right, right.
And I know I did not come back for at least 11 days, I think, 10 or 11 days. And they never told me it was grade 2 or grade 3. I don't think it was grade 3. I think that, you know, that's like tearing it off the bone and right. You're out for a long time. So I'm guessing mine was a grade 2, and it took me 10 or 11 days as alignments. I'm sure they have better stuff than we had. I'm sure they have like hyperbaric chambers and all stuff, you know, that helps you get better. But I don't know if it gets you that much better. I personally probably, you know, without having talked to him, I probably would have not played him against the Rams and tried to have him ready to go for Seattle and hope that we can beat the Rams without Richard Sherman.
Hey, Ross, it feels like any one of the six playoff teams that get in the NFC could make a run. The AFC, it seems like it's Baltimore's to lose. Who's the biggest threat, do you think, to Baltimore in the AFC?
You know, right now I think it's the Chiefs. And it's funny because at the start of the year, I was saying, look, let's just fast forward to the AFC Championship, Patriots, Chiefs again, you know? And then I was saying after Mahomes got hurt and whatever, at that point I was like, okay, it's going to be Ravens, Patriots. Let's stop wasting time. Let's just go to that. Now, I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be Ravens-Chiefs. Now, the issue there is the Chiefs are going to have to, more than likely, win a couple games on the road, and they're going to have to play that first week, which makes it a lot tougher as well. But I think, guys, I want to say it's three, maybe four games in a row where they've given up 17 points or less, and you watch them. Chris Jones is playing. Frank Clark's playing. Their safeties, Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill, the rookie, are playing awesome right now. And now you add Terrell Suggs to the mix. I think that the Chiefs and the Ravens are the two best teams. The issue is, will Kansas City be able to go to New England again as the three seed? New England will be the new number two seed. New England will be coming off a bye. The Chiefs will have had to have played. Can they win again in New England? I'm going to say yes. I mean, I watch this video. I'm doing the Bills-Patriots game on Saturday for Westwood One, and you read the stats. Brady's struggling. Edelman's got patella tendonitis, and I'm watching videos of him. He's really struggling. I think the Chiefs win that game, and I think it's Baltimore and Kansas City for the AFC Championship. I think for the first time since all of us were like 8 years old, the Patriots don't go to the AFC Championship. Yeah.
Rod, Ross, that's interesting, and I want to bring this up. Speaking of the Patriots, I'm not a Deflategate guy, Spygate. Belichick is one of the best coaches ever to me, but I got to tell you, I'm feeling some type of way about this video of filming the lowly Bengals sideline. What are your thoughts with that as a former player, Ross? Are the Patriots cheaters?
Well, I'll tell you, it really, really bothers me, and I'll tell you why. Because I played against those guys a lot. I think I started against them three or four times when I was in Buffalo. And then I was with New England. You know, the second half of the 05 year, played in a couple games for them. 06, I was there till they traded me to Cleveland. So I know all those guys that were, you know, back in the day. And whether they were cheating or not, and I think you can make compelling arguments either way based on what we know about this incident, my sort of stock answer has been, if you can make compelling arguments either way, how is anybody giving them the benefit of the doubt? I mean, how do you give them the benefit of the doubt? I'm not. How do you give them the benefit of the doubt? Why would you be showing the sideline for at least 8 minutes, if not longer?
Yeah.
Even if you were doing a video on the role of a scout, and the advanced scout does look at the sideline, you can look at it, you can have the camera on there for 30 seconds and be able to, I mean, the TV show is only going to be like 15 minutes. You're only going to show what he's looking at for, what, 10 seconds?
Right.
How is he going to have it on there for 8 minutes? So they've lost the benefit of the doubt. But I'll tell you what bothers me, okay? Whether, and it's mainly for playing against them more than being their teammates, but Seymour is the best D lineman I ever went against. Richard Seymour was unbelievable. Brewski was so good. When we would try to run the ball, Vrabel and McGinnis setting the edge, those guys would break our tight ends' collarbones. I mean, they were unbelievable across the board, right? Matt Light, Brady, we know all that. But what happens is every time they do something like this, and make no mistake about it, guys, they're going to get fined. They're going to get lose a draft pick. So people are going to be able to say, okay, that's the third time they got caught cheating. What it does is it diminishes the accomplishments of a group of guys that I think are tremendous football players. And yet, you know, I don't know. Most of them live in New England, so people probably don't care, and they just love them. But, you know, when Brewski goes back to Arizona or when people go all over the place, there's a lot of people that will always point to those guys and say they were cheaters and that's why they were good. And that would bug the crap out of me if I were one of those guys, because I know they were good. Like, I tried to block them. Trust me, they were good. I don't know how much the cheating stuff helped. I know this. It didn't help at all when Richard Seymour was jacking me up and throwing me aside. he could play.
Ross, real quick, man, I saw you post a picture of your last game at the Oakland Coliseum when you're a Buffalo Bill. Raider fans booed Derek Carr company off the field. What do you think the future is for Derek Carr with the Oakland Raiders? Can him and Gruden, are they a match made in heaven, or should the Raiders go out and look for another quarterback? Because personally, I don't like the body language. I don't like the way Derek Carr, you know, on the field when he's telling receivers this and that. I just don't like it from a leadership standpoint. Where do you stand when it comes to the Oakland Raiders and Derek Carr's future with them?
Well, let me ask you this, Okay, why were, maybe I'm just not out there. Why were they booing him? And, like, if they won the game and he was going around saying goodbye to the fans, would they have been booing him and swearing at him like that? I feel like I'm missing something.
Probably not. Probably not. But when you factor in the fact that it's the last game at the Coliseum, Derek Carr has been struggling over the last month and a half where he's throwing the ball away and not making that it play. I think fans have been kind of fed up with him. So I think it was the totality of blowing that game against Jacksonville and Derek Carr not letting it loose and losing that game.
So I always say when it comes to any position, but especially quarterback in the NFL, it's all about the NBA, next best alternative, right? So people can say, Carr should be done. Well, who are they getting, right? Let's talk about that. I don't think Tannehill is going anywhere. I don't think Jameis Winston's going anywhere. I think if it comes down to it, those guys will be franchise tagged.
Right.
I don't think the Raiders are going to draft high enough to get Burrow. I doubt Tua. So I don't think there's any question that John Gruden's going to bring somebody else in and have another option somehow, some way. I don't know who that is, when, or where, but he's going to have another option. Maybe he pays up for a Bridgewater or something like that. But if you look at Gruden's history, he never likes to be married to quarterbacks. He likes to date them. We just have to figure out who the guy is that he brings in to date and have alongside Carr. And they'll say he's just the backup. They'll say Carr's still the guy. But I think I'm pretty confident Gruden will give himself another option in case Carr doesn't get off to a real good start next year.
Hey, Ross, great stuff as always. Really appreciate it and always look forward to talking to you the next time.
Absolutely. See you guys. Talk to you next week.
All right, Ross Tucker. That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Quip. Go get quip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free. You can catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home. It's his new show out on radio.com/home or search home on the radio.com app. Thanks again to Ross Tucker.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.